strange as it may seem, 86% of the products that are on sale at the corner drugstore were not even in existence 15 years ago. I'll be back in a moment with the amazing facts about the mirage of materialism. Hello, this is Joe Cruz on the Amazing Facts broadcast, facts which affect you. She was a beautiful woman, and it was a beautiful park. There was just one thing unusual about the whole situation, and that was that she was standing there talking to a snake. She had no idea of the significance of this interview, but he did. This was the initial skirmish in the greatest controversy the universe has ever known. She listened to his arguments, and he deceived her. That moment of sin cost her everything. Since that time, Satan's steady attempt has been to lead astray and lead captive the mind of man. You see, friends, your mind is the only thing that separates you from the animals. A dog has a stomach, a cow has a heart, but only man has a mind that's rational, that can reason and think from cause to effect. Our minds are the only access that you and I have to God. For that reason, since the entrance of sin into this world, Satan has tried to lead astray and lead captive the mind of man. For a man to be able to withstand the attacks of the devil, for a man to be able to discern the fine line that sometimes lies between truth and error, and for a man to be able to know the difference between that which is acceptable Christian conduct and that which is sin, he must have all his mental faculties with him. You remember, in his greatest crisis hour, Jesus was attacked in this very area. In fact, you'll also remember that they wanted to give him vinegar mingled with myrrh to dull his pain and his senses, but he refused it on the cross. Satan's studied attempts, I say, have been to twist the thinking of men's minds so that they can't see the issues clearly. And I believe that he has reserved a whole host of these deceptions for the last days. The devil has descended on our generation with a barrage of them, the likes of which history has never known before. And I'd like to share with you today and in the next few days what I consider to be five of his most devilish and insidious and successful snares. Listen to this text in Matthew 19:16-20. And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He saith unto him, Which? Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man saith unto him, All these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? Now, friends, notice Christ's answer to this young man in verse 21. Jesus said, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Now, that isn't exactly the way the last phrase reads, and yet it could read that way, because here was a young man with dollar signs in his eyes, and I have no doubt but that he had the fastest hot rod chariot in town. Probably a beautiful home and servants and a fresh water swimming pool in the backyard. I don't know, but it does say that he had great possessions. However, he turned on his heel and walked away, and you don't read about him again anywhere in the pages of the Word of God. Now, friends, in the judgment day, when that young man looks at what he could have had, all those things in his personal inventory are going to turn to ashes in his mouth. Jesus fought this problem way back there in the times we're talking about today. And this is number one of the great deceptions of the devil in our day, and that's materialism. The rich young ruler didn't know the half of it. Do you realize that 86% of the products that are on sale in the corner drugstore were not even in existence 15 years ago? 86%. There's never been a generation that's been deluged with so many things as our generation. I read about a sign on a bank the other day that said, The Jones Borrow Here. The devil wants us to try to have more things than the other man or our neighbors down the street. And he started a very graphic program to get us to do that. There was a picture in a magazine the other day of a model home, and in that home was a model family, father, mother, a little boy, a little girl. And you were looking across the living room, and it was evident from the way the house was furnished that they had everything they needed and then some. And there was a beautiful yellow convertible out in the driveway, and they were standing around a beautiful piece of furniture in the front room, and underneath the picture were these words, "Our fondest memory, the day our Magnavox came." You see, friends, if you just have enough things, then you're happy. That's the philosophy of the world today. Have you seen the ad in the magazine about floor covering? Picture of a beautiful den, and you can see across the house and the floor, and it just glistens. Doesn't look as if it's been walked on. Probably wasn't, of course, when the picture was taken. And you can see this beautiful home, and underneath, they're trying to sell floor covering, of course. Underneath is this caption, "For a happy home, lay linoleum." You see, that's all there is to it. Your wife is running around with somebody else's husband. Lay linoleum. Solve the problem. Junior goes out with the boys from the school and gets a little careless and wrecks a car. Lay linoleum. That takes care of it. It solves the problems. Now, I'm not being facetious, friends. I'm simply trying to illustrate how very real this thing is that we're talking about. The devil would like to have us think that if we just got enough things that we hunger for and crave, that'll satisfy us. There's never been a day when so many things were available. So we have to get a new refrigerator this year because the one we bought last year has a sort of a rounded edge on the top. And this year they squared them off, and who would ever want to be found with a refrigerator that's out of date? I think we ought to add a new word to our vocabulary, friends. Disentanglement, because it's a very real prospect in this enlightened and plenteous age that we become so comfortable here that we'll lose our homesickness for that better land. I believe, friends, that that's a part of the devil's scheme. Now, number two of the deceptions the devil's using so successfully in our day to turn aside the allegiance of men and women is a preoccupation with sex. Do you know that sex magazines are read every month by two-thirds of the American people? Imagine that. Hollywood has become synonymous with depravity and moral degradation. One of the greatest blights on the American image anywhere around the world is our Hollywood movies that we send overseas. Did you know that, friends? I know because I spent several years living in India, and I can tell you that one of the things that's doing more harm to destroy the good image of America over there is the motion pictures we're sending from Hollywood to be shown to our friends in those foreign countries. Hollywood has almost become synonymous with Sodom and Gomorrah for sin. No longer is it just an eternal triangle. A boy meets girl, and then somebody else comes along and steals one of them away. They're not satisfied with that anymore. It's the depraved and the perverted and the filthy and the unmentionable that are being glorified in those films. And trying to justify it, they say, well, this is what's really going on. This is what life is all about. We're just trying to depict reality. Sure, it's real, friends, but so is sewage. But we don't run it down the middle of the street. It's so easy for us today to become numb to these things. We see them all the time. It's really embarrassing to stand in front of the newsstand anymore. You blush to read even the ads in the newspaper. All an author has to do to guarantee himself a bestseller is just write a book so foul that it's banned from the newsstand, and he's in then. Hollywood had a code of censorship that they imposed on themselves, but they voted to rescind it long ago. It's no longer in existence. And do you know why, friends? Because they discovered that Americans will come and watch anything that's produced. And so they've taken off their voluntary censorship program. The depravity and corruption of our day seems to make Sodom and Gomorrah pretty tame. Our dances, our music, our films, our TV programs, our advertising, the whole appeal to the eye today is the appeal of illicit attraction. I believe it's part of the devil's scheme to lead astray the allegiance and the mind and the will of man. And believe me, he's doing a pretty good job of it. I know we live in a society where it seems that everybody's doing it. And it doesn't seem so bad because the guy down the street is doing the same thing. You read about it in a book. You read about it in the newspaper. It reminds me of the little boy who was standing on a street corner one day. The traffic was whizzing by and the light was red. But he stepped down off the curb. But a man who was standing nearby grabbed him by the coat and pulled him back and said, "Don't go out there, boy. You'll get run over and killed." The little boy said, "Well, it looked dangerous, all right, but everybody else was going across." And the man turned to him and said, "Listen, boy, don't look at the people, look at the light." And friends, that's good counsel. God has left us a light, a guidebook. "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway." And if our feet are anchored securely here, then we're going to know the difference between right and wrong and between that which is acceptable and that which is sin. The ladies are going to know how to dress for the eyes of Jesus. The men are going to know what to read without having a guilty conscience. Oh, I know the standard is a high one, friends. God's standard always is and has been and will be. But He also gives us the power to live by it. Notice this text in Philippians 4:8. "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true..." Now, you see what this will do to our reading, don't you, friends? And you see what this will do to what we watch on television. Let me keep reading now. Philippians 4:8. "Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things." Some time ago, an editorial from a big popular magazine headlined this statement, "Sex moves to prime time on TV." And the whole gist of the editorial was lamenting the fact that finally these sex movies are moving right into the homes of the people. They were no longer down on the street corner at the motion picture theater where the parents could say, "No, Junior, you can't go down there." No, they're coming right into the home now where the children can see everything. They were right in the living room where the family altar is supposed to be. That's where they are now. And I say this is a part of the devil's grand strategy to lead astray the minds of men and women. Now, quickly, let's look at number 3, and that's the worship of science. Please don't misunderstand me here, because I'm not making any brief for ignorance. Some of my best friends are scientists and Christians. And God has given us reasoning minds, and He expects us to use them. But listen, there's a false worship of the intellect today that I think is leading men and women away from the true God. Some time ago, you probably noticed a flurry of articles on the new scientific attempt to create life in a test tube. Scientists feel that they're just on the verge of putting together the life principle in the test tube. You've read about the DNA molecule, of course. And one of the men quoted in that article, one of the keenest minds in America today, made this statement. He said, "I no longer find it necessary to believe in God." Oh, I wonder sometimes how God must feel as He looks down and sees puny man toying away in the laboratory with his test tubes and slide rules and other little gadgets, squirting men out into space a few miles and then gloating over his accomplishment. And then when we rise up and say we've discovered a lot about science, we know so much, it's not necessary any longer for us to believe in God. Isn't that something? Listen, the laws of nature are nothing more than the discoveries of the way in which God controls this universe. Really, it's an incredible age. Science has done so much to make life here on this planet pleasant and comfortable. We wouldn't deny that for a moment. But the things that modern science has brought to our civilization is also astounding in that it is leading people away from God in many instances. And now, this is Joe Cruz saying goodbye for today.